Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Hi, yes. 101 on this Thursday afternoon. Mark Malusis with you in for BT and Sal. Number to call 888-808-1019. Rami and Dove across the way, other side at the controls, rolling right up until 2. C-Mac and Keith McPherson, they come your way then. Floor's wide open. You just heard during the course of the update, Pete Alonso, we've talked about it, that industry within Major League Baseball. Expect Alonso to end up back with the Mets in Queens and Deuce. And, yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the marketplace, what it was, I think Alonso looked back on that contract in 2023 where he turned down, what was it, $158 million extension from the New York Mets. I think he's going to look back on that with a little bit of regret. I'll be interested to see, you know, once that becomes official, and not saying that he's close to signing, but that's the expectations, and I would be surprised if Alonso's playing anywhere else, but in Flushing in 2025, you know, if there's an opt-out early in that deal after year number one to where Alonso can take another swing at free agency coming off of yet a down season where he has an uptick in slugging, an uptick in home runs, has a really good offensive year, and he should, given the support that he's going to have in that lineup. For the Yankees, though, the update from Jack Curry is that, you know, they're not exactly circling with Bregman and or Arenado, and I think that makes sense given what the Yankees have done, spending on Max Fried, going out there, making the acquisition of Devin Williams, bringing in Cody Bellinger. The things that this Yankee team has done up until this point in time, now they've got to figure out exactly what they're going to do with Jazz Chisholm. Is he going to be their everyday second baseman, or are they going to roll him out at third? And then what is the move after that? But I think everyone surrounded the Mets and the Yankees, outside of Alonso, outside of what the Yankees are going to do for another infield spot, is this, is what's going to be the decision from Roki Sasaki, and where does the Japanese young star end up? Let's head out to Harlem, kick it off the 1 o'clock hour. It's Anthony, it's The Fan. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, Moose. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. A little late, but Merry Christmas.
A little late, one day late, yeah, but 2 days late. But so the Alonso thing is kind of interesting. Like, you remember Conforto? He turned down $100 million. Was he Boris guy too?
I'm not sure. I forget if Conforto was a Boris guy. I think you might be right. He was, but I'm not 100% certain.
So his ego, I mean, I don't know if it's Boris, but it's almost like Boris and his ego and how much he's telling these guys he's going to get. He might have cost Pete some serious money, you know?
Well, I think Alonso, if memory serves me correct, I think Alonso signed with Boris after he turned down that deal.
Okay.
I don't think he was with Boris at the time. And then, was Conforto a Boris guy? Yeah, Conforto was a Boris guy. Thank you, Rami.
So, I just wanted to make a point about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I know you're the busiest man at Sports Talk Radio. Did you get to see this this Netflix documentary?
I haven't sat down and I've seen clips of it. I've not sat down and watched it as of yet. What I hear it's good. I mean, the reviews tell me it's good, but I've not sat down and watched it. I think I've had it up to like my eyebrows with Aaron Rodgers this year so far. Like, I don't know if I can dedicate more time to learning about Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I mean, of course, a lot of stuff on Netflix is kind of like propaganda stuff, but it paints him in a different light. He's a very kooky guy. He's got some interesting interests away from football, but what's cool is it gets into like the process of how he got to the Jets. And I think like a lot of Jet fans, maybe they're kind of sick of him, but you know, this guy, he wanted to be a Jet. He came to the Jets and he's been injured this year. And then there's like a down year. He's going to have the second best season in franchise history. And I'm taking my sons to the last home game of the season. I hope he plays, because if one iota of him wants to come back and play for the Jets next year, and they tell him, nah, we're good, they're foolish, because he's the like, he's the best option at quarterback, and I'm going to go see him just so my sons can see a first ballot Hall of Famer play in a Jets uniform, which they never may never see again in their lifetimes. So,
yeah, Anthony, I get all that. It's a shame the way that it's gone down right now, and I'm not going to profess to be around the team on a day-in, day-out basis. Those that are think the relationship between Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers is too far gone, that he won't be back, but I would not close that door as an option, me personally. I don't run the Jets. I don't own the Jets. I think those that tell you that there's no way you could bring him back and, you know, it would be an unmitigated disaster, I think that's a little foolish as well. I think you're saying something to just grab some attention and grab a headline or whatever it might be. And that's fine. I mean, we're all in that kind of attention business to begin with when you work in media in today's day and age. But I think if you're being realistic and looking at it, I think Rodgers, if he wants to play, I think the Jets would be best served in bringing him back, as long as the GM and the head coach can work with him. And that's the, you know, but that's the big time question. I don't know that answer. Like, I would not close the door on Rodgers and say thanks, but no thanks. Let's roll with somebody else. I think you're selling him a little bit short. Dix Hills, we go. It's Harvey. It's the family. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. Again, happy holidays to all of you and your family.
Happy holidays, Harvey. What's on your mind, bud?
You didn't go down the chimney, did you, I hope?
I did not go down the chimney, no.
Thank God for that.
Yes. Good joke, Harvey.
I know. Same well, you same. Made a couple of jokes before, didn't you?
Yes, yes. No doubt, Harvey, yes.
But anyway, but sports is not a joke to most of us, okay? And
it should be fun, Harvey. It's sports.
It's my fun. It's my therapy, as you know. And but anyway, I was going to talk about the Giants first and then the Mets, but I just heard that it looks like the Mets are really seriously, at least publicly, trying to sign Alonso. And I think that what's interesting to me is having Soto and Alonso together, because I've said almost every call on the Fan this year that they have to sign Alonso. Soto hitting before Alonso is going to be quite interesting. You know, Soto is one of those special hitters. He doesn't do everything at one time, batting average, home runs, RBIs, but he's capable of doing everything at one time. And I think Yankee Stadium year last year was his best year in terms of all of those aspects. But he seems to be a guy that can adjust to all different fields. You know, he spent 5 years in Washington, 2 years in San Diego, and the 1 year in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, and I've always been a proponent that hitting the stadiums make a big difference. But he's one of those guys, I believe, that can transcend the stadium and adjust to the situation he's in. And having Soto before Alonso in the order is going to be incredible, in my opinion.
No, it's going to be great. He's going to be awesome. I mean, Harvey, like, I'm I grew up a Yankee fan and everything, and, you know, I thought Soto was going to end up in Queens, and he did. And when they made the trade, I said, if Soto helps the Yankees win a World Series, he went out there and did his job. He helped them get to the World Series. They ended up, you know, falling flat on their face against the Los Angeles Dodgers. But he was always going to take the most amount of money he did, and I'm not going to downplay his impact or minimize it. It was a shot across the bow for the Yankees, a huge signing for the Mets, and he's going to be great in Queens. I have no doubt he's going
to
be great.
It's going to be very exciting, to be quite frank with you. So as soon as they, they do have to improve their starting pitching rotation in the bullpen, but that's to be done. They seem to be motivated to win the World Series. Especially.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean, Cohen told Soto when they met, you know, at his mansion in Beverly Hills during the negotiation or the wooing process. That his goal in the next 10 years is to win 2 to 4 World Series titles. Let's see if they can accomplish it. Pressure's on now. Shirley, New York. Phil, what's going on, Phil?
Moose, what's going on, brother? I hope you had a great holiday, man. You and the fam.
Yes, it was very good. Thank you, Phil. How about yourself, all right?
Doing all right, doing all right. Good. I'd really like to see Pete Alonso back on this next team, though.
Oh, he'll be back, Phil. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. He'll be back.
Listen, I'm not sweating. I'm feeling good about it. You've been hearing a lot of conversation about Alex Bregman, though, to the Mets, also with Pete. And to me, I just don't get that. I understand he could play second base, but I just don't see us not like him to second. You know what I mean? I feel like you're going to have to pay him $30-something million. We don't need this guy to win it all. We don't need Alex Bregman as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, why not more of more? You know what I mean? Yeah, you've got the richest singular owner in baseball. Talent is talent. You don't need Bregman to play second. What you do, have Bregman play third, have Alonso be your full-time DH.
Listen, Moose.
Move Vientos to first.
But listen, Moose, if we're getting Pete, I'm not doing that. I'm not moving everybody around for this nonsense. I get it. Bregman's a stud, and having him in that lineup would be amazing.
Or you could have Pete be your first baseman and Vientos your full-time DH.
Yeah, and listen, Moose, if that's the case, listen, I'm not going to sit here and be upset about that. That would be amazing.
Oh, but
to me,
great.
I want Sasaki, Moose. I want Sasaki, even though I think that's a stretch. I feel like he's going to go out west. I feel like we need some bullpen help too, Moose. We're always so like just piecing it together. I want a lefty, a legitimate lefty. I'd love to see Jesse Winker back on this team as well. And I feel like we got to make a move, Moose. I feel like we have too many guys right now with not enough spots.
Phil, can I just ask you a question though? And don't worry, like you're going to field a really good team. And we'll see what Sasaki does. I saw a list like a week and a half ago. One of the finalists was the Chicago White Sox. And I said, what, does he feel bad? Like, why exactly would you pick the Chicago White Sox, who are dreadful? But, you know, I know he's met with the Cubs, and, you know, he's making his rounds. I know his agent said he might be better off in a smaller market team or mid-market team than a major market team. I guess he's had issues dealing with the media over in Japan. But
yep. We'll
see exactly where Roki Sasaki does end up. As the days start to click off the calendar. How does it feel, though, Phil? How long have you been a Met fan?
Moose, I've been a Met fan since about 96, 97.
Okay, 96, really 97. How does it feel to take a star from the Yankees, Phil?
Moose, I can't even describe the feeling. I've been drinking Yankee fan tears for the last couple of months. I got it stocked up in my freezer. Yeah. I got plenty for the rest of my life, Moose. There's no feel. I've never had this feeling before in my life. Never, ever.
It's a glorious feeling, right? I mean, the holidays
really
are great.
Is.
Like, everything's great. And you're like, you know, we don't really need Bregman. You know, just sign Alonso back.
Exactly.
You know,
who would have ever thought?
Right. No, but the world, here's the deal, Phil. The world
coming
is
out of my mouth.
The world is your oyster, Phil. As a fan of a team owned by Steve Cohen, the world is your oyster. Whatever you can think of, whatever you can dream of, he can make happen.
Yep, I couldn't agree more, and I can't wait for this 2025 season. Let's go Mets. Happy New Year, Moose.
Happy New Year, Mets, baby.
Can't wait.
Enjoy the day, brother. Let's head out to East Meadow. It's EJ. It's the fan. What's going on, EJ?
Moose, happy holidays. The past one and the new one.
Yes, happy holidays, EJ. What's on your mind, bud?
There's been a lot of talk. You know, I listened to I'm missing the daytime, too. But Sal and BT were talking last week in reference to maybe some of the hesitation on Pete is to wait for Guerrero, Vladdy, next year. So I'm wondering, as a Mets fan, should it be, hey, we get Pete and we add more with Guerrero next year? Or is, you know, I wanted to ask you, do you think maybe some of the hesitation was to figure out whether or not they could get Guerrero via trade or get Guerrero next year at free agency? And that's why
that could be.
Won.
I mean, EJ,
can they get them both?
Well, then you're having one of them DH. Then you're hoping that Vientos figures it out defensively at third base.
Because
then what are you doing, right? So
the
whole goal or the whole idea of Bregman would be, you know, he'd be your third baseman. I know he could play other positions, but he'd be your third baseman. Could move Vientos either the first or have him DH and have Alonso be your first baseman.
And I guess that means Vladdy's going to the Yankees.
I don't know. I mean, I know he hasn't spoken so kindly about Guerrero. I think that's the one thing that, I think people got caught up with the Walker signing 3 years, $60 million with the Houston Astros. And listen, Walker is 34.
Yeah.
He's got better years ahead of him than Paul Goldschmidt. I'm not going to deny that, but that would have then closed the. But that would have closed the door. 1 year Goldschmidt at $12.5 million. I'd rather have than the 3 year contract that Walker got with the Houston Astros.
Right.
From my bet, because I think it keeps you into the conversation of potentially getting Guerrero if you're the New York Yankees. For the Mets, does that enter? Yeah, I think they think about all aspects. So would that be part of the equation? Would you think about that for sure? I think the interesting thing would be the way that the contract is structured when he eventually does re-sign with the Mets. Does he have an opt-out after year one? I'd venture a guess he does.
If he does,
that he has a really he has a really good offensive year, and you know, is able to kind of fly under the radar. Focus will be on Lindor. Focus, obviously, prime focus will be on Juan Soto. Has a really good offensive year and a really good lineup, and then takes another crack at free agency potentially. So I because I don't think he's going to get the long term contract from anybody.
Well, if it's just a couple of years, then I agree. That makes a lot of sense. Although, because I was worried if they signed Pete to you know 3+ years, and all of a sudden that takes us out of the running in Guerrero, and you know then he's a no hate on the Yankees, but then he's a Yankee because you guys only have Goldschmidt for 1 year. But hey, it is Steve Cohen. If he's supposed to be you know, the king or uncle, he's supposed to deliver everything, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, but he's not gonna listen, EJ. He's delivered on the biggest prize, like he's delivered on that. And that's why that signing of Soto was so impactful and had such ramifications, and it was so layered, is that was the guy the Mets had targeted for quite some time. That's the guy they wanted. They were not going to be outbid. They were going to do everything they could to make sure that he signed his name on the dotted line. That's why if you're the Yankees and you entered into a negotiations from my perspective that you were never going to win. Financially, the package was never going to be larger. The additions to the financial package were never going to be what Cohen and the Mets could offer because they're coming from a different place. From a wealth perspective and from aggressiveness perspective. And the Yankees, listen, they offered $760 million, but for those that tell you, well, it's just a $5 million difference, it's not. I understand there's other things that go into it, the emphasis on family and everything that we heard afterward. It was a huge turning point in this city and for Major League Baseball. Let's head out to Jersey City. It's Pete. It's the fan. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for taking the call. It was regarding a couple calls ago, the guy was talking about bringing Rodgers back. And this is where I'm at with a Jets fan, man. Like, as a Jets fan, you bring Rodgers back or not, I don't want them to bring him back after the year and blaming people and just his general morale. But to me, it's like, dude, you got to do something because if you draft a QB, I mean, it's just gone on so long. You look at Geno was in the MVP conversation last year. Sam Darnold's a solid QB. You got to give these guys, even Zach maybe one day, you can't draft these guys and give them on a crappy team and give them 2 years to prove themselves, and then they don't, and you restart the cycle, and you fire the GM, and you bring back a head coach. I mean, dude, it's been going on 25, 30 years now. I mean, whether they bring Rodgers back or not, it's not going to solve anything. Maybe they bring him back, and maybe they go, you know, they win 9 games, and everybody's happy. But you got to do something, man, to change the whole thing. It's like it can't go on forever, the same cycle.
I don't disagree with you, Pete. And then, I agree, you have to bring in people, and the cycle will continue if Woody continues to get in the way.
I agree, because you know what? If he's, you know, he's charging $48 for parking and he's making billions every year, what does he care? But as far as from a fan and like a building a team, I mean, forget the QB. I would draft a freaking offensive lineman, because if you give these guys 7 seconds instead of 2-3 seconds, no matter who it is, Zach, Sam Darnold, Rodgers, any of them, they're going to find an open receiver and hit the target, man. They're professional quarterbacks. I know some are better than others, but you can't give a rookie quarterback 4 seconds with no targets and expect them to turn a number one. You know, they're in the top five because they have a terrible team. They're
not going to turn. I mean, usually, you look
at... Sorry if I'm freaking out. I mean, I'm at my wit's end with these Jets.
No, I get it, Pete, but look at the release times of quarterbacks from when they get the ball to when they release it, and they're usually less than 3 seconds. The ball's out of their hands.
At Sam. How do you explain Sam, then? Or Geno? I mean, where they were in the Jets to where they are now.
Well, Darnold is not without ability. Like, Sam Darnold is not athletic. He's one of the... Like, when he was on campus at USC... You know, I told this story at SNY at the time. Like, Sam Darnold, someone that told me what it is in the program, was one of the most talented quarterbacks that's ever stepped foot on the campus at USC. The problem with Darnold is the game never slowed down, and he was turning the football over left and right. And people downplayed his turnover rate in his final year at USC for playing behind a bad offensive line and saying, well, if you protect them, that the turnovers or the bad decisions will go away, and they didn't on the NFL level. Let's not look at Darnold and say he was not athletically inclined or not gifted. He is, and has landed in a situation in Minnesota where he's got a head coach / offensive coordinator in O'Connell that has idea of how to get the great strengths out of him, and he's got weapons around him. Aaron Jones running the football, Justin Jefferson, Addison at the wide receiver position, when healthy, TJ Hockenson at tight end. I mean, those are, you know, world-class weapons around him, and still sometimes he makes some mind-numbing mistakes. Geno Smith, yeah, give him credit. Work ethic, you know, grind. Geno finally getting the opportunity in Seattle and has proved a lot of naysayers wrong, but you know, he is not without talent ability as well. Now, were you going to be patient enough to be able to wait in this marketplace for Geno to... No. No. And there was a regime change with Darnold, and he was not the apple of their eye. And now we'll see what Sam Darnold continues to do this year with the Minnesota Vikings. 121, Melusa's with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Rolling right up until 2. C-Mac McPherson, come your way then.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 127. On this Thursday afternoon, it's a Melusa's Midday. In for BT and Sal, right here, The Fan in New York. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Westchester. It's Joey. It's The Fan. What's going on, Joey?
Hey, how you doing, Moose? Happy holidays.
How you doing, buddy? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees' moves this offseason. You know, I really think they did a good job reacting to the Soto signing. You know, Brian Cashman saying they didn't want to spend like drunken sailors. They really haven't. I mean, maybe they've overpaid a little bit for Freed.
Yeah, they did.
But they really reassured. Yeah. I mean, they overpaid a little bit for Freed, but, you know, you're reassuring the starting rotation, and you're kind of leaving yourself open options, you know, on the trade market. Like, maybe you could trade a Heel or a Schmidt. And, I mean, you guys mentioned earlier, you were talking about Christian Walker. You know, I think he would have been a nice signing, but like you said, he's 34 years old. You know, it leaves you open for Vladdy next year, even though Vladdy kind of has been open to saying that he hates the Yankees.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'll really come here. But, you know, Aaron Judge, he might be a first base candidate next year. You know, Cody Bellinger might be a first base candidate next year if they somehow get Kyle Tucker. They might even get Kyle Tucker at the deadline. Because I don't think the Cubs are going to shell out $500 million for him.
No, Joe, you might be right. I mean, I think the Yankees with their deals have left options open, and that's what you want.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's it. You don't want to paint yourself into a corner where you can't be in on conversations should those opportunities present themselves. And that's what the Yankees have been able to do. Let's also not couch it. Listen, Soto's a huge loss. Soto and Judge made up for a lot of deficiencies on the team.
100%.
They did. It was, we talked about it here on The Fan. I talked about it on PIX. We talked about it on social media, you know, this and that. So they, you know, that duo with what they were and how good they were together covered up for a lot of warts. Now you're asking this group, and I don't disagree with any of the moves. Like Freed, they overpaid. The trade for Devin Williams, the trade for Cody Bellinger, what this Yankee team has been able to do here. I like the moves that they have made. But this group has not been to a World Series without Soto being a part of it. And let's see if they can go out there and do it. And here's ultimately, Joey, what you need to know as a Yankee fan is, you know, we're enjoying the holidays and New Year ringing in next year. If Judge is not going to be close to the player he is in October, what he is in the regular season, the Yankees aren't going to get there anyway. Like, Judge has got to be impactful. You know, I said last year when, you know, at some point in time, Judge is going to have to be Judge. And in the game he showed up, you know, and the Yankees jumped out early in that, you know, game 5 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, we all saw it come apart, you know, and Judge's big, you know, one of Judge, you know, Judge's error in center field, failing to catch the ball, taking his eyes off the ball. But Judge is going to have to be great in October.
100%. I mean, if you look at this roster right now, they did a ton to beef up run prevention. They need run addition. They need someone at second base right now who can produce at the top of the lineup. I don't know if they go back and get Glaber or they make a trade for someone like Brendan Donovan in St. Louis. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they've had, I think, right, and it seems that they're not into, you know, Arenado from the Cardinals, which you've heard that before. They have cooled on Bregman. Goldschmidt's going to be their first baseman. Now you got to figure out what other options, what other potential trade could Brian Cashman make to solidify this team and their infield defense, and when they make the decision of what Jazz Chisholm and where he is going to play, either third or second base. Blue Point, New York, we go. It's Jim. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, Moose. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Jim.
You know, just a couple of... Good afternoon. Just a couple of jet points that are running around in my head. You know, if they don't bring in a competent person with some cachet and, you know, tell Rogers to shut his mouth, then they're all going to scatter to the wind. Parents are already making noise. Brees is going to start making noise. Hal Altosauce wants out. So you really have to bring somebody in that's going to bring this franchise some credibility to start with. And with Rogers, you can definitely run it back, you know. He just needs to shut up, and I think if they bring in a competent coach, he'll see the difference between what he surrounded himself with last year and what he could possibly have. They have a good roster. They have good talent. They can add to it. And, you know, if this Joker doesn't stay out of the franchise, you know, and just go be the ambassador to England, then nothing's going to change. And until they get out of that stadium and develop their own identity, they're always going to be the Giants' little brother. They need to go back to Queens, establish their own identity, and go from there. That's where their fan base is anyway.
Yeah, that's it's it. Like he needs a daily affirmation, like Stuart Smalley, right? I'm good enough.
I feel like I'm in a self-help group, you know?
Right.
I'm
you need, but Woody Johnson needs to, sit in front of the mirror and basically tell himself, I do not know football. Repeat after me, Woody.
I do not know football.
I do not. Where are the Bobs? Where are your teenage sons right now? Who's playing Madden?
Right.
Which office are they playing Madden? What rating system are they looking at? Like all these things you look at. But it's not going to change. Woody's got to get out of the way.
Yep. And every week we sit down and put ourselves through it. And everyone's like, you know, why do you do that to yourself? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess a Cub fan could explain it to them better than I could. But I just put myself through it forever. And hopefully one day we're going to get there.
Yeah, what amazed me is like the, you know, I mean, the nature of the story surprised you. The Madden rating story, whatever, whether it be a joke or whatever, the fact that Madden ratings were being brought up in a conversation with Jerry Jeudy and the Denver Broncos is kind of stunning. Whether that ended the trade or not, I don't care. The fact that people are actually looking at that, the grayed out players, and looking at video games. Thank God they're not playing Tecmo Bowl. I mean, what would that be? The Johnson sons would be looking for Bo Jackson. Where's Bo? Where's
the man does a pretty good job. Good holiday gift.
Carl in Stanford. What's going on, Carl? How are you, buddy?
Moose loved Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, it was great. Bo Jackson was on. You couldn't tackle him.
Bro, that one running play up and around. CSI.
Yes. He had Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen with the Raiders, and LT for the Giants LT would wreak havoc all over the place.
I'm about to jump on eBay and try and find the system right now to go get it.
There you go. Love
now
it.
You got it in my head.
Was fantastic.
I just want to say I think you're one of my neighbors up here. I heard you last time talk about bringing your dog to one of the vets. I hope everything's okay with the pup, and I hope all the holidays has been good for you guys.
Yes, yes. Chip is eating his way through the house. He's wreaking havoc, but he's A-okay. Yes, he's bouncing around.
All right, good.
A 9-10-month-old puppy, yes.
I just want to preface this by saying I am a Yankee fan. I am diehard. And I just want to say one word, and that's pitching. The Mets have none. They have zero. They took Clay Holmes from us. Congratulations. Kodai Senga's shoulder is shattered. And Christian Scott couldn't figure out how to throw a strike. Who else do they have? They signed Manaea. Congratulations. You overpaid for that. You want to talk about Max Fried getting overpaid. Manaea had 12 good starts. Boo-hoo. And had a nice playoff. And he had to come back to the Mets because they figured out how to throw with him. I really don't honestly see what they're going to do with pitching. They have nothing in the bullpen. The Yankees went nuts with Fried. Obviously, we overpaid. I'm going to agree with everyone on that. Mm. But you can never have enough pitching. And pitching is what wins games. Pitching is what wins games, as you saw in the World Series, because we can't hit in the World Series. And obviously, like you said about Judge, trying to figure out how to hit a ball again in the postseason.
Yeah.
But I still think, and I'm not even trying to, but I got to rain on their parade. They got two guys with 10-year contracts. They're going to go throw 8 years at Bregman for $200 million, which is going to be congratulations. And Alonso's going to have 17 opt-outs before the first year's over. You know, Boris is going to want him out. And honestly, I don't even know why Alonso would even sign back with the Mets after all their fans just constantly poo-pooed him all year long after he hit how many home runs since 2019?
Yeah, but here's, I mean, how many years of 40 home runs? Carl, the Yankee fan booed Aaron Judge on opening day.
That was probably me.
He booed him on opening day. They booed him on opening day. I love you, Carl. Stanford's a great spot to live. I do. But to quote Juan Soto, it's a, what town is it? It's a Mets town. It's a Mets town! I know it bothers you. You just poo-pooed the Yankees and the Mets and everything they did. I understand. The Mets have got, here's what the Mets have. The Mets have the pitching lab. It resolves all issues. Frankie Montas will now throw all nothing but strikes. Clay Holmes will develop into a devastating starting pitcher. We saw what it did last year with Manaea. It's a Mets town! Don't you understand that if you're a Yankee fan? Pump it up, Dope. Maybe not today. It's like 15 degrees outside, but you can sense warmer weather coming. We already passed the winter solstice, so the days are starting to get a little bit longer. And soon, it's great. Yankee fans still bothered by Juan Soto. Listen, it is what it is. He's gone. Mets starting rotation, yeah, needs a little work. But don't worry. Hefner and the lab, they're all over it.
You know that does not work but could be fun to fix meme?
Yes.
David Stearns when he sees a pitcher with a 5 ERA. Right.
The Mets can resolve all issues. They really can. 138. Malus is with you. I love you, Carl. You're the best. 888-808-1019. Back with your calls and more next.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, call of the day time brought to you by Jimmy and the guys, Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. It's Eric. It's The Fan. What's going on, Eric?
Most. How are you doing, brother?
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right, man. Survived Christmas. And I'm happy to hear that you did as well. So good for you, man.
Yeah, I survived it. I mean, it was we survived. I lived to fight another day. That's it. Yes.
That's it, man. That's it. Now it's
just
now
not
it's,
peeking out of my head out of the foxhole all that much. That's all.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's putting everything together and, you know, cardboard like a warehouse, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yes. Yeah. The house is just a complete and utter mess. Chip is running wild. It's just not a good scene. My wife, we got home late last night from her sister-in-law's, and she's like, well, when are you out tomorrow morning? I'm like, 8 a.m. She's like, well, who's cleaning the house? I go, I don't know. Not me. That didn't go over well. That did not go over all that well. So not all that great right now, but we'll be okay. Yeah.
As you say, you live to fight another day.
That's it. There you have it. That's our call of the day. Very nice. By the way, Rami, what host here has the seat cushion? It's fantastic. Like if you had a venture guest, you know.
That's Tiki.
Is it Tiki?
Well, it's Tiki's seat.
Is this Tiki's seat that I'm sitting in?
Well, I know BT has the giant chair that the back is super straight up, which makes sense.
Okay.
And, yeah, I guess that's Sal and
like,
Tiki.
I don't know. There's like a padded cushion. It's fantastic. I don't know
what
it is.
You have the Giants? There's like a giant. Oh, that.
No, there's no giant logo on it.
No, because
like if it was like a Tiki Barber, like, you know, his number or something.
But it makes sense that it was his because he used to have like a giant throw pillow on his chair.
Gotcha.
So maybe
it's
he replaced
almost like
it with
the
real
seat,
cushion.
Like if you're driving cab like all day long because you
know that they have that, yeah.
Yeah, like it's like that kind of seat cushion. It's great. It's fantastic. Very comfortable. It's like a roll of the dice sometimes when you walk in here with chairs. But I got to be honest with you. Today, very comfortable seating arrangement. Thank you for whoever's cushion this is. Great. Let's go out to Mount Holly. It's Ryan. Fan is next on the fan. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Moose. How's it going?
Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Just a quick Giants point. And to me, I feel like a lot of fans are divided on this, but the Giants were bad last year, but they weren't bad enough to get one of their top three choices at quarterback. And this year, I think, you know, Brian Daboll looked at the team and said, hey, we're going to be bad again. We could go 5-12. And do I think we would win more games if Daniel Jones was on this team? Yes. But, like, I think he did look at it honestly and was like, hey, we got to get out of no man's land. And without saying it out loud, do you think there's any credit, or is that just an insane cope for a Giants fan? It's tough to see him getting blown out. But
well, to look at it now and say what they're trying to lose?
Not necessarily trying to lose, but, like, looking at the Daniel Jones situation is like, hey, if we play him the rest of the season, we could definitely win more games. He's probably still the best quarterback on the Giants roster.
Daniel Jones is not here because the Giants could not gamble on him getting hurt and then them guaranteeing him $23 million. Mm-hmm. Like I said it, you know, when you had, you know, people going out there and everyone's got opinions, right? But Daniel Jones, without a shadow of a doubt, was the most talented quarterback in the room. Now, is that saying a lot? No. I mean, it's like saying, you know, like the thinnest fat guy in the room. It's not exactly a room that's teeming with Hall of Famers. But he was clearly the most talented guy in the room. He's not here because of the way that his contract was structured. And so, therefore, they could not risk gambling on a lost season of him getting hurt. That's why it was handled the way he was handled. And they basically told him to stay away. And then he met with John Mara and asked to be released, and they released him. And now he's a member of the Minnesota Vikings. So that's why that all went down the way it went down. The Giants, you know, the whole idea of, well, they're tanking, you know, they're trying to lose. I don't really think it has anything to do with trying. I just don't think they're particularly talented. You lose, you know, your left tackle, who's irreplaceable, of Andrew Thomas. Dexter Lawrence, your best overall player on the entire team, is gone. The quarterback play is abysmal when you look at it. What exactly? And then you get into the game planning of Daboll as well. Sometimes lack of effort when this team, they got embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, there's not a lot of positives when you look at it. The question you have now is, okay, is this, the results that we're seeing, is it, you know, circumstantial? Is it talent-based? Is it coaching-based? Is it a combination of all of that? What do you do with the head coach and the decision to keep the head coach and the general manager? Well, you're going to give them priority to select their quarterback. Okay, well, then I have to have belief in them at least for a couple years, because I can't then have a regime change during year number one.
Where do you fall on that?
I think the general, right now, I think Shane's staying. I think it's debatable about the head coach.
Okay.
That's no, where it is. I think that's where it stands right now. Could I see an idea where Brian Daboll stays? Yeah, I could. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. But I'd say his seat is a lot hotter than the general manager. Jared in Staten Island. What's going on, Jared?
Step right up and greet the Mets. Moose!
There you go, Jared. Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
When you will play in the Met music. How's your hand healing up? Good?
Yeah. I gotta get the stitches removed, but the hand is healing up just A-okay.
Moose, I'm not even going to call you about sports. I'm a Met Jet fan. I'm a short, fat Puerto Rican. I got no luck in life. Listen, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, sir, and thank you for being the bridge from the old school to the new school. You're like, it's so good to hear your voice. It brings me back to, you know, a different time that life wasn't so hard. So I just wanted to say thank you and Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir.
Well, Merry Christmas. Hopefully life's good for you, Jared. Merry Christmas
life's
to you.
Not bad. I'm not
happy holidays. Happy holidays. I wish you all the best in 2025, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
And you too, sir. Thank you so much. God bless, guys.
You got it. You as well. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it. Ben in Brooklyn up next in the family. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, Moose, how are you? First off, I just want to say that you're one of the best to do it, and you should definitely be on the regular on middays again. But I'm not the station man. But I'm a Yankee fan. On your show, I don't want to come off as like kind of pretentious or mean, but you were going off before about how it's now going to be a Mets town. I might be pretty bad at American history, but I'm pretty sure that last year the Mets ended their season in the NLCS.
Yeah, Ben,
and the Yankees
just
made it to the World Series.
I was busting chops. I do it with Figgy over at PIX because Soto talks about it being a Mets town and all that. Yes, I understand. Well, it's a different era. Let's be honest. It's, you know, the Mets are no longer, you know, the redheaded stepchild. It's a different time. It's the, you know, bothersome that a Yankee star left for the Mets. Bothersome that that Yankee star looks as the Mets as being a team that he has a greater chance of winning, so to speak. Like, that's troubling.
I was just going to say, like, you've probably forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know. But, like, I kind of feel I've heard Mets fans say this about how Soto, as a Yankee fan, in my mind, winning the offseason, or I'm not pretending Soto is not pretty much the best player in baseball, but ultimately baseball is about all the moving parts that end up helping win. So in my mind, till I see, you know, what the product is on the field for the Mets and for the Yankees, I'm not really crying too much over Soto going.
Well, that's fair, Ben. I mean, I think they're both going to be great. Like, I think that's fair. I think it's going to add to the rivalry in this city, unlike anything we've ever seen before, because we've never seen this kind of move before. So this is all going to be new, and it's going to be great, and it's going to add to the conversation. It's going to add to the talking points, all those things. So that's going to be, and I have no doubt that the Mets are going to be good, and I think the Yankees right now, I think we talked about the other day, I think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. I think the National League is stronger than the American League. The Yankees still have a little bit of work to do, but I think the Yankees are once again going to be really good too.
I appreciate it. I can squeeze it.
Yeah.
One last question. This is probably, you've heard this question a bunch of times. If you have the choice between one of them, would you rather Sanders or Ward for the Giants?
Oh, good question. I'd probably take Shador. I think the ceiling might be a little higher on Cam. A little bit more risk, though. Florida we go. It's Rob. What's going on, Rob?
Moose! What's up, buddy?
What's up,
Merry
Rob?
Christmas, man. You're a great listen. I'm so glad to hear you. I listen to you every Sunday, but wish you were on more.
Oh, thank you, Robbie. Quickly here. We got about 30 seconds. What do you got, brother?
Okay. Regarding the Jets, suffering Jet fan, I'm just sick of this team. You know, like, San Francisco traded up for Trey Lance, picked him right behind Zach Wilson, right? Knew that he was no good and cut bait with them. We had Zach Wilson play 30 games plus, right? And then we made a knee-jerk reaction and traded for A-Rod, and now we're still living with this mercenary. Like, the new head coach is not going to want him as our head coach, his starting quarterback.
Well, and so, Rob, if that's the case, and I'm flat out of time, if that's the case, then he's gone. Then be gone. Then that'll be it with Aaron Rodgers. Listen, what a show. Rami, fantastic. Dove, avocado toast. What a beautiful spread you had. Thank you for all your help. You guys on the phones as well. Enjoyed it the last 4 hours. Have yourself a wonderful Thursday. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. I'll talk to you Sunday morning at 9. Enjoy your Thursday. C-Mac McPherson coming your way next.